On the panel with this morning is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Dan joins us on the air on Thursdays and is a regular guest on Commodity Week as a panelist. Next to him, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's from Normal, Illinois as well. He joins us on Mondays, and you can hear him on the opening and the pre-opening, or the opening and the closing market report. He is from Normal. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on Tuesdays at the radio station. And Vince Reinecke joins us for Commodity Week as a panelist with Strategic Farm Marketing. Good morning to you all. We're going to give you all about 3 to 5 minutes to give your overview of the soybean market, and then we'll start asking questions. And we'll start with you, Dan Zwicker.
Just briefly, I guess, a couple things. I think from a technical perspective, nearby beans, I think, have met a couple price objectives. Are we echoing here?
You're fine. Pull it up just a little bit.
I'm fine here.
Yeah.
This 690 area, or 680, 690, meets a couple, about three different price objectives. So I do think that this last move here over the past 4 weeks or so, as soybeans kind of caught up to corn, is probably enough for now. Weekly cyclical influence, or at least what I look at, kind of suggests that the soybean market is in a window here that we could tilt down for a week or two, and then we kind of consolidate, and then we kind of gear up and see and take time to see whether or not we can rally going into the March 31st report. And there'll be a lot of anticipation that soybean acres will be down sharply, simply because of the private estimates showing corn up significantly higher. Seasonally, beans are in a window here that they actually begin to level off for the month of March. And then if they're going to move on higher, they have a tendency then to pick up momentum to the upside during the month of April as the corn planters are rolling. And then they usually then strengthen as we go on into the first 10 days or so of May.
Put that right in front of your face.
Is this one a little better?
It's
a little better, but it's still echoing for some reason.
No, we're not going to be able to do anything about that.
Is that what it is here? So that's kind of what I'm looking at. I think the bean market, the move to catch up to corn has kind of been accomplished, especially with the price action that we've seen in corn yesterday, and of course then we followed through here last night. We'll see what happens here at the end of the day. But if the corn market is going to level out, soybeans will also level out. Now, somewhere in here, probably about middle part of April, I think the relationship between corn and soybeans will kind of divorce themselves, and that will depend a whole lot what's happening out in the field. If the corn planters are rolling, soybeans will rally. If not, soybeans will decline significantly, I think, as you go on into a May low. So if you've got old crop beans here, I'm kind of in a window here that one maybe needs to begin to part with them a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily clean out the bin yet because seasonally, I think, you know, until we get further into the planting season, it's going to be hard to totally kill the soybean market.
Wow, it's amazing what $4 corn and $8 beans does to a crowd. It's unbelievable. This is one of the biggest ones I've seen. I was talking to Bill earlier there and said, well, next year we have to get a bigger place. Yeah, but corn might be $2 and beans might be $5. So amazing. We passed out some blue and yellow handouts earlier. We weren't quite as bullish on our handouts as we were on you guys showing up today, so there's not a graph to go around. But on beans in that handout, you'll find a page there that says, what if? And in there, we tried to illustrate the importance or the significance of this acreage report coming up here at the end of March. In that example there, we took last year's supply-demand balance sheet and carried it through to what would happen if we would lose 6.5 million acres up to 8.5 million acres. If we would lose 6.5 million acres and have a yield of 42 bushels to the acre, and keep demand just over 3.1 billion bushels, about where we are, next year's ending stocks could drop down to 347 million bushels. And that's just using trend line yield of 42 bushels an acre. If you see an 8 million acre drop, keep everything consistent, next year's bean carryout could drop down to 263 million bushels. So we're going from record supplies, record carryouts. With this record demand, we can tighten the supply-demand balance sheet just like that. So in our minds, we feel beans are probably the most explosive commodity yet to be traded. If you look at the long-term chart we had on that same page here, you know, we've got quite a bit of upside room yet. Wheat's done its thing. Corn's putting in some significant rallies in through here, but beans have yet to go. And there's an appetite for beans from the investor point of view. When you talk to these hedge fund managers, you'll find out they bought corn earlier, made a lot of money, quite successful, and they're looking for something else to invest in. When you look at 450 corn, how much higher can corn go? Maybe a dollar. But when you look at $8 beans compared to past history, how much higher can beans go? $4, $5, $6. And we haven't even started trading weather yet.
Well, a great big WIL welcome to everybody. It's really a thrill to look out over the crowd and see this many people up this early in the morning just to hear about the commodity markets. I think that this says a lot for Dave and Todd and all the program that they've tried to develop and what they've added to the show in the last couple of years and the different things they try to express. So a big hand for those guys. I think that, you know, talk to them through the day. If there's anything you want to see changed or whatever, talk to any of us, and we'll look at that and try to add it in there. You know, when you're following two distinguished analysts like this and they've said as much as they've said, it's awfully hard to come up with something new to talk about here. But, you know, I think that we've got an exciting year so far. If you were here last year, we were talking about record carryout, record yields, and going on, and how sad the soybean market might be, how wrong we were, or at least I was. I was going to have to say that I have been shocked and amazed at how we have taken off in this bean market. But, you know, we have to look at some things going on. It's the ethanol usage. It's the crude oil. It's the energy. It's the biodiesel. It's the use of thinking green. A lot of that has pushed us up. But most, more than anything, it's corn. Corn has pulled the beans up to try to keep the acreage there. Pure and simple, if the corn prices weren't pulling the beans up, we would not be near this high fighting for acreage. China, an insatiable demand. They have kept and hung in there even at these tremendous prices because their economy is growing leaps and bounds. Them and India wanting to do that. Some world droughts, of course, have come in here and helped some of this. The index funds, how big are they? God, they're tremendously huge. They're continuing to grow. During the month of February, the open interest by the index funds, who are only long, increased 66,000 contracts in February alone. There's talk of more and more money pouring on into those index funds because they want to be long commodities because that's where the big growth is. World bean usage has been increasing by 8 million metric tons a year and looks to continue. You know, the weather. All of us have heard that El Nino switching into La Nina is going to be a wet spring, a dry summer. We're going to have probably have a higher percent of chance of weather problems this year. All this makes this a very dangerous year. We're sitting at $8. I agree with Dan in that we look a little toppy now for a setback. But if these weather problems come in, how high can we go?
Good morning, everyone. I guess first I might take just a minute, if you'll join me, and applaud the efforts of Todd and Dave, not just for today's event, but also for all of the things they do throughout the year to keep us all informed. And so let's thank them quick. Guys, we really appreciate everything you do. I guess, as was just said, Wayne just said it, you know, everybody's pretty much said what I was going to say. I will highlight, Kurt pointed out earlier they left a flyer on the table. Most of you will see something with our name across the top of it that suggests what happens if we reduce acres by as much as 9.25 million bean acres this next year. Our yield we used was 43, not 42, so there's room for adjustment, perhaps room for discussion. But nonetheless, it suggests basically what Kurt was telling you when he said that we could be back down to 260 million in carryout and beans. And I guess the only thing that I would offer to you, my experience, I guess, is probably a lot less than what some of these guys up here have seen. But nonetheless, I do certainly remember at one point in 2001 when I was in Rensselaer, Indiana, writing a $3.99 on the board for cash bean prices. And I guess I would suggest that you look back and see what carryout was that year. Unfortunately, it was 208 million bushel of beans, which is less than 260, which we've talked about. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that I think beans are going back to that level, but what I'm saying is that when Wayne just mentioned corn has most everything to do with where we're at as far as beans are concerned, I think that it's pretty hard to argue with that. So I'll let I guess we'll turn it over and start with questions, but nonetheless, that's the one thing I would suggest to you.
Thank you, Vince. Now, if you've got questions, go ahead and just raise your hand and yell them out. We'll try to get these answered. I've got a question for you to begin with. How many of you have old crop soybeans to market? Raise your hands. I'm not asking how much of it, but how many of you have old crop soybeans? Now, how many of you have more than half of your old crop soybeans yet to market? Okay, let's deal with old crop first, and then we'll get to new crop. Is there a reason, Dan Zwicker, for them to go ahead and sell old crop beans at these levels?
Well, kind of goes along with some of my earlier comments, is that I think this is a window to do some of that. I don't necessarily ready to clean out the bin yet, because I want to play the seasonal yet. I think as nervous as this market is about new crop growing conditions, even if beans were making a top here, which I think the top is more of a short term, not necessarily a longer term top, that it would be tough or difficult to totally have the bean market go into a meltdown situation until we get a little further down the road on planting corn. But I do worry a little bit about corn planting. I think at some point in time, in order to get the acres that the market is thinking that it needs, we're going to have a pretty ideal spring. And I think any kind of whiff that it's not going to be an ideal spring could put a lot of pressure on the soybeans earlier than expected, because that'll be when they divorce themselves from corn and we'll have to kind of play the spring planting weather as far as more acres or less acres. So I think we're in a window right here to let some beans go. If you're a gambler, I think you've got to kind of let the market sit back. You have to at least run the risk of upwards of 40 cents probably back to the 750 area. And then we can regroup, and then we can maybe try the 8-something level on the next run up.
So you're gambling with your old crop and making new crop sales then?
No, I never mentioned new crop. I thought the question was
his
old crop.
It was. I'm just asking.
But old crop, I think soybeans, new crop would be the same way. This is a spot in here with some $8 fall soybean bids or close to that. I think from a pure marketing point of view, it's difficult to turn that down, especially given the fact that a large percentage of this room is holders of old crop soybeans. And like I said, if we did get into a spring weather pattern that signaled that we weren't going to get a 10 million acre corn planted, that means that our bean acre decline may only be 5 or 6, and then all of a sudden carry out projections would begin to grow again, and that would be, I think, somewhat negative to the soybean complex as we go down the road. But if someone can tell me what spring weather is, I can tell you that. But I think right here, all of my work has indicated toward any time from mid-February on, one needs to maybe be a little cautious of the soybean market, and this is kind of where we're at, I think.
Vince and Wayne, using all the risk management tools available to you, how do you cover the new crop beans at these prices, or do you at this point? And I'm talking everything through March 15th.
Sure. I'll answer it kind of with a story, Todd. Yesterday I was quite surprised. I've told this story to a couple guys I ran into this morning, but I met with one of my customers yesterday, and normally speaking, they're extremely detailed as far as their marketing plan, kind of bounce ideas back and forth. But nonetheless, normally I ask the question, what's your marketing plan look like? And I get a 10-page dissertation of what it is, and that's great, I think. But yesterday we started, I asked the question, we started with where they were, what they thought they wanted to do. And it ended up, after we looked at some crop insurance possibilities, looked at cash sales, looked at options, it looked as if the best way to market their crop, the new crop, I mean, on beans, was going to be maybe to not get as aggressive at selling as one might have thought, but at the same time use a higher level of crop insurance than maybe you normally would to protect in case the price goes down. Likewise, if the price did go up, then you had a good bit more to sell in the cash market. And I was just surprised to see the results. Granted, I look at this every day, but nonetheless, it suggested that crop insurance maybe should take a lead this year, whereas normally speaking, it should be the backstop. And that's been surprising. It's been surprising to actually see, I guess, it's been surprising to see that come up as such a big tool. Granted, we've talked about it in the past, but nonetheless, it really has come to the forefront this year. Certainly, you know, as I mentioned, their marketing plan included buying options in the beginning, and then we kind of talked ourselves out of it. But at the same time, you've got to look at your personality type and how that has to impact making cash sales, whether you sell cash or buy options. And so, like I say, I would suggest to you that you strongly consider crop insurance this year, beans or corn. And at the same time, the cash sale looks to be the best as far as a tool this year is concerned on part of your crop. But options work really well as well.
I'd have to agree with Vince on using your crop insurance and some of your pricing this year, number one. Number two, I'd like to go back and just a little bit on old crop sales for right now. I think it depends on where you're sitting cash flow-wise at this point in time. We've heard a lot of customers say, I need a little influx at these price beans right now, and we feel there could be consolidation, as Dan said earlier. Why not sell a few beans, look to replace with a call if you feel that it's necessary at that point in time, and if you want to defend or if you're not happy or think they're going to go a lot higher on the old crop. We do think that individuals need to look at their personal cash flow needs, and if you need some cash now and have some beans there, there's nothing wrong with moving a few. Are we aggressive sellers right in here? No, we think there's still some weather scares. We think there's some anticipation from the WASDE reports coming out in Washington Thursday or Friday, and we don't know when the announcements will come. And we think there is a great anticipation as to the acreage report, probably the biggest report the USDA is going to be put out in the last 10 years as far as reaction and what it can mean to people that way. As far as the new crop, we've sold 10% at $8 as far as bean goes. That, of course, is wrong, but we want to be wrong because we've got 90% left to price. Would you rather be right on 10 and wrong on 90 or right on 90 and wrong on 10? So we feel very fortunate about that. We're glad we're wrong in what we've done so far. We feel that from here on in, we are probably going to be using some bull call spreads when we do some pricing, depending on how aggressive you want to get, along with your insurance guarantee as to what we're doing. But we're probably going to be using something like the 860, 980 type spread as far as like that and being able to do it for around 20 cents. So that's what we're looking at. If you want to get aggressive, basically if you are still in the camp of weather problems, if you believe the corn acreage is going to be high, you sit on your hands for a while.
Anybody got a question they want to ask? If not, I've got one for Kurt. Anybody? Yes, sir. The question. You were headed the same place I was, so that's good. And I was going to ask Kurt that question, actually, on his supply and demand tables. His question was, how many beans did the Southern Hemisphere end up planting? Led this week on WILL, I think it was yesterday, we heard our weather analyst tell us that it was the best growing season that he's ever seen them have, so that they may have a very good crop in the offing down there. What can you tell us about South America and the soybean situation?
Well, actual hectares, acreage was down. There's a lot of people here in the U.S. that invested interest in the Southern Hemisphere that ended up not planting the full acreage. Last year, we were shooting for 60 million metric tons out of Brazil. That figure came back down to 57. Currently, USDA is below that, but you're correct. The overall yield has been great. The weather's been fantastic. I think they're looking at tremendous yields. So when you look at growing region area, it's down, but production's up. With last year's U.S. bean crop and this year's crop coming on from the Southern Hemisphere, we're still going to have record supplies. But the concern is how high beans go this summer here on some weather. If we see higher prices, it's going to be an increase in acres. We'll probably see a big jump this next year.
How many bean acres do you think we won't plant this year? How many fewer bean acres?
Here in the U.S., we're looking about 8 million less acres. It's still going to depend on weather. If we come in a cold, wet spring, that figure is going to go down dramatically. If we warm things up, get the south going here, we feel we're going to be closer to 8 million less acres.
Anybody disagree with that? Is 8 million and where you want to be? I'm guessing that there's some disagreement up here on this one.
Well, we think that beans aren't going to suffer quite as bad because we're seeing, as we talked to our Arkansas office, that we're seeing there's a lot of cotton acres that are going to go to beans. We're seeing a lot of rice acres that are going to come over to beans. And I think that we're also, at $8 beans, we're going to see a lot more people try to double crop along the way, too. But, I mean, I think we're going to see the reduction, but maybe by a million or so less acres than what some of the estimates are.
Vince?
I guess my research suggests that the market's trying to tell us, in my opinion right now, that we need to plant 9 million less acres of beans, 9 to 9.5. I think those were some of the suggestions that you heard Pro Farmer suggest, and I guess I can't differ from that. When you look at the returns per acre, corn versus beans, when you look at the market prices, and when you look at the carryouts that we have, corn versus beans, that's where I come from when I say I think we'll see 9 to 9.5 million acres less of beans, because that's what the market's telling us to do.
If we only get 5 or 6 million acres fewer beans, what do you think happens to the marketplace?
Well, according to what we handed out there, it takes carry out down to 346 million bushels. Depending on yield, we're at 42 bushels, so it's going to depend on weather. But that sets the stage that beans could probably continue to trade in this $8 level until we get into the growing season and see where weather is at.
But only if corn manages to stay higher. Is that right? Does it only stay there if corn stays higher? Really, the question is, I mean, if you took 12 million acres, and this was a conversation I had with Daryl Good, if he says if you take 12 million acres out of beans, then we probably definitely will have an impact. But that 5 or 6 million may not have a lot of impact given the amount of beans and oil seeds that are on the world supply at this point.
Well, you're not going to run beans to $13 and run corn down to $2.
Okay.
You can bring the ratio back in line. Corn's gained so much ground on beans here over the last year, you can flip the spread back the other way. But let's say corn's – so what if you get 12 million acres of corn? Corn could probably just stay here, and beans could probably go higher yet.
Mm-hmm.
The big uncertainty is beans. It's not necessarily the big demand coming on, but you got a huge speculative interest out there. Last summer, when you talk to these fund managers, they had their secretaries and everybody else buying corn. You go to a cocktail party, what did they talk about? Buying corn. They bought corn real early in the season when margin is only about $500 a contract and about $1.50 go. They made a huge amount of money. They're looking somewhere else to go as far as the investment sector goes. And they're watching beans, they're watching bean oil, and they're watching cotton. So at some point in time, if the fundamentals start coming in line, we have 7 to 9 million less bean acres, we run into weather, they're going to be quick to jump on that bean market, and you can run that bean market dramatically. So it wouldn't surprise me to see beans rally, but maybe the cash market might not follow. So, you know, you can have some divergences in the spreads there.
Dan, tell me about your supply-demand work. What do you see in the beans?
Probably nothing that anybody else doesn't see.
Well, in that case, who's got a question? Anybody out here? Go on, Dan.
I guess I'm in the camp that probably the best prices of the year are going to be offered early. Whether or not it's the month of March, April, or May, or even June, that probably, you know, we're going to have to take kind of 1 week at a time. But I think all of the bullishness of you know, renewable fuels, the expansion of renewable fuel industry, whether it's the ethanol on the corn market or biodiesel on soybean oil, that I think a lot of that is going to be all factored into the market as we go into the planting season. And I guess I'm in the opinion that after having a couple hot and dry type summers, we'll probably do for a cool and damp summer. So I don't really look for any growing season problems in July and August. Now something could come into play maybe later in the fall. We haven't had an early frost for a while. Something's got to come along to, I guess, being a real cynic, if I was Al Gore holding a bunch of global warming concerts, mine would all have rain and jackets on 4th of July. So I'm looking for a cool summer and a good growing season. So I guess I'm in the camp that we need to be watching the spring here when we have the most uncertainty. And believe me, you can just listen to this table. You can tell that we're all uncertain to what how the planting season is going to unfold and how that ultimately is going to impact prices, because it's just a shade early. I kind of watched the weather pattern from March 1st into the first day of spring to see if a weather pattern is redeveloping different than what we've had. And what we've had has been pretty much in place since the first part of December. All the storms are starting down in the Texas area and move right on up into the Midwest, so we're quite wet. So I think now we've noticed on the 6 to 10-day forecasts and the 8 to 14 that the weather models are trying to turn to a little drier, cooler type pattern, or stay on the cool side, but a little drier pattern. And I think La Nina is going to give you a drier pattern in the west, a wetter pattern in the east. So maybe the eastern Corn Belt could be under a gun on some moisture problems. But I think that we're going to start to try to dry out here over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and we'll have to kind of see what happens.
Wayne, last year on the radio station, on corn in particular, not so much on soybeans, but at least on corn, all of our analysts pushed the marketplace and said, time to make sales. Not so much on soybeans, and farmers are generally bullish on soybeans, and I won't talk about the beans in particular, but they have pretty short memories generally too. So they're not going to be willing to make sales, in particular on soybeans. Is there a time at which point you will tell them this is the spot? And how do you convince them that this is the place to make sales? Sorry about that.
That's got two real difficult things there. Is number one, having enough conviction to want to do the sales pitch. Number two, when a farmer doesn't want to do something, it's very hard to get him to do it. The one thing that we will be looking at in all probability is a point when we feel that production is going to be somewhat assured. As we are past a certain date, we have planted, we have it growing good, we're going to say that it's going to be time to make a percentage of sales there because it's looking good so far. But we also have to remember It's a long growing season, and the weather is very iffy. I think along the way, I think that what we want to do is protect getting below certain levels for sure. We found out over this last year that demand has been increasing tremendously, and we're not used to it. And it takes a while to realize this demand, and if we can continue to see it, if we can continue to see soy diesel plants coming online, if we can continue to see the ethanol expansion, and we can continue to see our exports not be set back. You know, but if those start, there comes cracks in the walls where those things aren't happening, that we're not using soy diesel, that our soy stocks are building rather than being used up, that the weather continues to look like it's going to be a decent harvest and like that, then I think we want to, you know, put bottoms below things. But I think that most of all, it's going to be a very tough year to decide when it is that we want to try to do some stuff like that. I think that everybody has to feel comfortable and say, I want to have so much of my crop priced above this level, and I'm not going to let it go below there before I do some pricing. But I think everybody is not going to make the mistake of getting 100 or 120% sold like we have in the past.
Any questions from the audience that you want answered? Yes, sir. The question is, what's $250 cash rent due to putting beans into the marketplace or into the ground? And I the farmers probably as be a good an answer as that as maybe Vince might, but Vince is going to take a shot at it.
I'll probably maybe try. I don't want to say be sarcastic here, but as I was talking here and Todd, you know, asked the last question, and I thought, what beans? And I say that because most of you that have been here before know that I farm too. And guys, when you look at the prices, and I throw this out purely as a question, okay? I throw it purely as a question out. But realistically, what beans? With market prices where they're at, now I know every area might be different, but certainly where I farm, what beans is the question. In other words, corn is the answer. Whether it's cash rent at 250 or cash rent at 100 or cash rent at 450, but like I say, and I'm not trying to change the subject or anything here, but realistically speaking, the market's telling you that you should plant more corn.
So I have a question for you, and we heard this in the After the Bell segment, I think. I don't think we asked it during Commodity Week, but if you listen to After the Bell, Chuck Shelby was on with us along with Matt Bennett on Commodity Week, and if you're signed up for the newsletter, you get an extra program called After the Bell, which actually is going to run during the closing market report this afternoon. That happens when the guys really aren't done talking at the end of the show. It doesn't happen very often, and we put that out. Both those guys farm, and they were in the same situation. They're both brokers. But they were in the same situation. And I think that Matt told us he was going to only have 25% of his acreage in beans. So the question is, what percentage are you putting in beans of your acreage?
My own personal stuff, none. And is that easy enough?
Yeah.
But then let's
zero's
see,
good.
As I look at, our whole operation, it'd be about 25% probably would catch it, a short 25%, and that seems to change as the market changes, but nonetheless, and it hasn't gone up, I'll tell you that much. But 25% should catch it.
Okay. Any other questions before we let these folks go, and you can talk to them during the day all day long? One more? Yes. If inflation's, we've talked about this a little bit on the air. If inflation happens to make it into the marketplace, what happens to the market across the board? Anybody want to take inflation up and the marketplace?
Doesn't mean I'll be right, but I will answer your question by simply saying that 2-3 something like that years ago, you know, we started seeing steel prices go up, and you know, all the other commodities, not just corn and soybeans. Obviously, they didn't start at that point, but I had the conversation with one of the kids I went to college with. You know, he and I obviously are fairly young, but at the same time, he said, you know, I've not really lived through a major inflationary period before, but it sure seems like we're in it now. And again, I might, mind you, that's 2 years ago or 3 years ago, something like that. And my question to you is, yeah, nobody admits it, but are you sure we're not already seeing the inflation? And that's the only, I mean, I'll leave you with that. I can't answer the question, but I guess I would have to tend to think that we're probably already seeing some of that inflation.
I think we're seeing inflation, but we've got a long ways to go before we start galloping. And for those of us that lived through the 70s knows what galloping inflation is. I think that's for the next president, whether that be Hillary or Obama. I guess that's going to be their issue. Iraq war will be long gone by then. But I think in the near term, there's reason to believe that the Federal Reserve Board won't be able to lower interest rates. And that's what the stock market has been trying to rally on and actually has made new highs on ideas that the Federal Reserve Board would actually have to maybe bring some interest rate cuts back into the picture after a period of stabilization, basically from the election into about now. I don't think they've moved interest rates for about 4 or 5 months. But every time the market begins to think we're going to have an interest rate cut, a government report comes out that indicates that the economy is a little stronger than what they think, so then that dampers the prospect of an interest rate cut. Then the stock market kind of sells off. I think the default mode will be inflation. That doesn't necessarily bar out any kind of interest rate cuts, but I think Greenspan's already indicated that he kind of thinks we're headed into a recession. But I think we're going to have some interest rate rises. Then we'll go into a recession, and I think once we come out of that recession, then we could maybe get into more of a galloping-type inflationary market. But I think that's still a year or two away yet.
Give these folks a hand, please.